All right. Well, hey, guys, today this is going to feel like a little bit like a Bible study in some ways. And so I hope you just, can you grab your Bible grab your Bible there. It might be a digital Bible if you forgot your paper one, but for those of you who brought the real deal, the actual thing, you are going to be blessed today because you are going to be able to switch pages like this, like, whoa, and then back. And you're going to be able to see it all. See, I love the real thing. So please bring the real thing. And because we're going to get some context today, we're going to try to see what Luke is trying to get us to see. And so, yes, we are back in the book of Luke. And so we was on a journey. We have been on a journey together in the book of Luke, and we've taken some breaks to go into different series. But we're going to weave in and out of the book of Luke for probably 2 to 3 years, just to let you know that. So whenever we're not in a particular series on something, we'll go back to Luke and we'll spend a lot of time with Jesus. That's the hope, because we just really want to be apprenticed to Jesus. We want to spend a lot of time with him. I want to let you know that our next series will start January 23rd. And so, you know, it's going to be on, it's called Digitology. And so it's trying to understand how to follow Jesus faithfully in a digital age. And so we're going to talk about smartphones and social media and all this stuff and just how we can move away from the escapism, the loneliness, the polarization to be a people who are faithful to Jesus. We're going to talk about what it means to have an online identity. How do you honor Christ with your online identity as well? And so there's a lot of questions. It'll just be a short one, a little 4-week series, but that's coming up at the end of January. But I'm excited. The next 4 weeks, lots of Jesus. And so let's dive into the parable of the sower. So we have, as a church, we've walked through the first 7 chapters of the book of Luke. If you're interested in some of those passages, you can go back on our website. We have those sermons there, but we are in chapter 8. We're beginning chapter 8. So you can open your Bibles to Luke 8, and we're going to look at verses 1 to 15 today. So, Jesus, we come to you again and ask that these beautiful, incredible words from this parable that you spoke 2,000 years ago, that you would speak them again here today, that you would speak clearly. And we want to hear you. We want to listen. Jesus, you said, he who has ears to hear, let them hear. And we want to hear you today. Come and move. We love you. Amen. All right, so Luke 8, 1 to 15, we will read the whole thing here. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. So this is the word of the Lord. All right, so Jesus is so loving that he'll use common things in everyday life to teach. And this is why Jesus is brilliant, because he was able to take really simple things and go incredibly deep with these images. You also need to know that he is using a very common Greco-Roman image of teaching. And so the sower is the teacher, and the seed is the teaching, and the soil is the human heart. So the sower, the teacher, or in his case, the rabbi, is teaching, and you can imagine him just throwing out those seeds, like the Van Gogh painting, right, of the sower, right? So throwing out those seeds. And this is the teaching. And Jesus is teaching to all people. His teaching is available. It's widespread. But the question is, what does the soil of your heart look like? What does the soil of your heart look like? Now, open book quiz here, pop quiz. What is the central message of Jesus' teaching? And this is not a rhetorical question. I want you to actually shout some things out. What if you could boil down everything that Jesus taught into one statement or word or set of words, what would they be? Can you shout some out? Kingdom of God is near. He got it. Okay, one for one here. Okay, boom, there we go. That's Pastor Tim. Thank you. Yes, the kingdom of God. Did you know that that's the central message of Jesus? Did you know that? The central message that Jesus came to bring was all about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And this is not a new idea with Jesus. Because for many years, God was reminding his people that he was the king. And that there was a way to do things. That there was a way to live that matched his will. See, the kingdom of God is everywhere where God's will is being done. Your kingdom come, Jesus teaches us to pray, your will be done. So the space and place where God's will is being done, that's where the kingdom of God is, because that's where God is king. Now, can I just quickly go, you could read all of the Bible, you could go through the pages of Scripture, and you could see the thread of the kingdom of God throughout the entire pages of Scripture. Our Bible begins in Eden, right? In a garden. And in a garden, there are these earthlings, this Adam and Eve, and they are called to live under the reign of God, that God would be in charge, that God is the creator, he's the king, he's Lord, and he was going to show them how to be good farmers in the garden, right? He's going to show them how to live. And what did they do? They said, no, thank you. No, thank you. We will eat from this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we will choose to define good and evil on our own. We don't want you as king. We will do things our own way. We will become lords. We'll become kings. And what did that do? It just brought sin into the world and rebellion and dysfunction and pain and separation from the king, from the Lord, from the one who loved them and wanted to show them how to live, but they said, no, thank you. And throughout the Old Testament, you see this time and time again. And the people choosing to become their own gods, their own kings. But there are these moments, powerful moments, where God steps in as king and ruler. Think about the moment with the Exodus, when Pharaoh would not be king of the people of Israel, but who would be their king? The rescuing king. The king that snatches people out of darkness and into the kingdom of light and gives them a home and gives them a law and shows them how to live. See, God would be king of Israel. But the people didn't want God as king, right? The people said, we want an earthly king. Give us a king. And some of you will know the story of Samuel. And Samuel warned the people of Israel, you really don't want an earthly king. It's not good. It's not good. Like, look around you. And they said, we are looking around us, the people of Israel say. Like, they've got kings. We want kings. And Samuel's like, you don't want a king, I promise. He said, we want a king. And so God says, okay. And he allows them to have some kings. And Saul starts off, and Saul already destroys it, right? The first king of Israel is like, oh, no, right? And in David, look at his life, a complete mess. Now, he's a man after God's own heart. We know that. It's wonderful. But his life is a mess. And his son Solomon, the kingdom is divided. I mean, it's just a mess with these earthly kings. And the worst thing is that the people of Israel are taken into exile, right? And they have to live under the oppression of other kings. But the question remained for the people of Israel, like, what would it look like for God to be king? Like, what would that look like? What if God was actually king? And I want you just, because you have your Bibles open, could you just go to Luke 1? We were just hanging out at Christmas, right? We were just talking about Christmas, hanging out with baby Jesus. Luke 1:33. And again, troubling to see all of your eyes on me. Look down at your Bible, okay? Luke 1:33. This little baby's born. And we'll start back in 32. And Gabriel is telling Mary about Jesus who will be born. And Gabriel says this, verse 32. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will, look at that, reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His what? Kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never end. What would it look like if God was king? What would that look like? Well, it's happening right here. We say Emmanuel a lot, right? That's God with us. But this is God with us to become king. King. Totally in charge. Totally in charge. And as you watch Jesus's life, watch his life, he begins speaking the message of the kingdom of God. Look in our passage. Flip over back to chapter 8 again, Luke 8. If you go back to Luke 8, what's the very first sentence? Luke 8, 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The good news of the kingdom of God. This is what Jesus was all about. That's why at the heart of his prayer that he teaches us to pray, he tells all his apprentices, come together, let me teach you how to pray. You start off with God as Father, right? And then you pray, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, in the heavens, God's will is being done. It's happening. And Jesus is saying, but your prayer is that right here in your life, in your heart, in your city, in your neighborhood, in your school, in your workplace, and whatever, that God's kingdom would come and that his will would be done right there as it is in heaven. See, God reigns fully in the heavens. But we want to see him reign here on earth as it is in heaven. And what then would be the coronation of God as king? It would be on a cross. That's his coronation. And what would he wear? He would wear a crown, but it would be a crown of thorns. What does it look like when God is king? That's self-giving love. Self-giving love. The crucifixion was the coronation. The resurrection was his vindication as king. King over life itself, life and death. And right now we're seeing his kingdom come. In theological language, it's called inaugurated eschatology. It just means that God's kingdom has come right now. It's not yet, right? The fullness will come one day. But right now it's coming. It's here. It's happening. And it's starting to bubble up in the hearts and lives of followers of Jesus. Is the message of the kingdom real in you? Is it growing in you? Are you the kind of person who the soil of your life is so ready to say, I want the kingdom. Jesus, teach me all about the kingdom. I want your teaching about what it means for God to be king to come into my life, and I want you to grow something. Is that happening? Is his will being done in you? Okay, now, really quick, why does Jesus speak in parables? Why does he speak in parables? We're going to deal with the hard part really quickly here. Did you notice there was something really strange as we read the passage? Go to Luke 8, verses the second part of verse 8 to 10. We read this. These are puzzling words. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what the parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." What? What? Do you, when you read the Bible, do you ever just pause and go, "Come again? Come again, Jesus? Is this you?" Seeing them, so that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand. Like, what is that about? Well, here's the deal. When you track with Jesus, Jesus is very unimpressed by crowds. Jesus is very unimpressed by flattery. Jesus wants people to do this. Huh? That's what Jesus wants. He wants people to go, "What? What'd you say? Say that again? What did he say? Did I just think, you know, you imagine a crowd of people, right, in Galilee, like on a, you know, on a hill or something like that, or in a village, right? Did he just say that he, like, doesn't want us to get this? Now I really want to get this, right? And they lean in. See, Jesus is always wanting us to lean in, to engage, to chew on it, right? Imagine like a cow. Don't they have like two stomachs? It's like munch, 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 munch on it, right? I think that's the Haggah in Hebrew is meditate. That's what we're supposed to do with the scriptures. Meditate. It means to chew. What did he say? This is the thing. Jesus is speaking in parables because those who don't want to hear are like, "Oh, I don't know what he's saying, but I, you know, don't really know. I don't really get it." But the others that really want to know, they're going to lean in. They're going to listen. Have you ever spoken to someone and you know they're not listening to you? Oh, yeah. And their eyes are kind of like glazed over and, you know, just like, "Hello, are you there?" You know, unfortunately, I have done this many times to my wife. She's talking to me and then, and she'll actually be like, "Matthew, what did I just say?" I'm like, "I'm so sorry. I did not hear a single word." She's like, "No words?" I'm like, "No. You're going to have to go back a few topics." "Where were you?" "Oh, I don't know, you know." Oftentimes it's writing a sermon in my head. That's where I was. Anyway, so unfortunately, she's got to deal with that in my life, and I try to be better, try to be better. But there are these moments when you're talking to someone, you're like, "I really want you to engage a little bit. I want you to work for this. Like, lean in here. Try to understand this. Like, you know, the cookies aren't always on the bottom shelf. Like, the some things that are worthwhile, you got to, like, chew on them and think about them and lean in." And I think this is what Jesus is doing with parables. This is a quick little aside, but I tried to do this with the elder board recently. In September, so some of the staff always write updates to the elder board. We give them little updates. Just so you know, the elders are awesome. They always require updates from us staff. So I was writing my update, and I was like, "Man, I wonder if they ever read this thing. Do they ever fully read it?" Because a bunch of us submit them at the same time. And I'm like, "I wonder if they ever read mine." So this is what I wrote. I'll put it up on the screen. This is how I ended my letter to the elders. "Our team is now planning on meeting every other week to talk about future sermons, and we would work on theological issues and point each other to great commentaries, illustrations, tools that will sharpen each other. I'm hoping to rob a bank. It's also a great place for feedback for one another. Okay, God bless you guys, and I'll see you Thursday on Zoom. Matthew." I only had two elders follow up. I'm like, you know, if the lead pastor puts he wants to rob a bank, you should probably like get back to him very quickly and be like, "Are you okay?" No, but it really is good news. All the elders did read it. By the time I think they showed up, I think most of them had seen it. Anyway, so they do read the report. They're wonderful. Okay. And I don't want to rob a bank. Okay, moving on. But Craig Keener says this. He says, "Only those who were serious enough to persevere would understand Jesus' parables." That's the point. Is like, look deep, lean in, engage. Like, look at the details. Like, listen again and again. And you might imagine followers of Jesus going, "What was he saying about the kingdom of God? Like, what did he describe it like?" Well, it's like a sower, and there's seeds, and there were four soils. Yeah, there's four soils, and you can just imagine them just chewing on it and just and trying to understand it. The thing is, Jesus didn't want fans. He He just didn't want like a fan club. What he wanted, he wanted disciples. He wanted real students, apprentices. And sometimes I wonder if, like churches today, we've really kind of lowered the bar, right? We kind of go, hey, so can you serve? Yeah? Can you tithe? Good, we'll have you, you know? And Jesus is like, oh, just a second. Serving and tithing are wonderful, right? But churches should be calling their people to become apprentices of Jesus, like disciples, like actually going, I want my whole life to honor him, to love. I want the whole message of the kingdom to go deep into the soil of my heart. Look at verse 4, real quick. Luke 8, verse 4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told them the parable. Just notice the context. What's going on? Lots of people. Jesus is incredibly popular. He's huge. It's going viral, right? And so what does he do? He sees tons of people, like I mentioned earlier. Jesus is not impressed with crowds, so he sees all these people coming. And he's like, all right, let me tell you a story about how only a quarter of you are really going to get this, right? It's like, what? You sure know how to drive away a crowd, right? And when you look at Jesus' life, what happened? His followers got smaller, smaller, and smaller, and smaller, until who was with him at the cross? A group of faithful women who were his disciples, and probably John, who was just a teenager, so he was no threat to the Roman soldiers. Jesus' ministry got smaller and smaller and smaller. People walked away from him, but he wanted them to lean in. So I want us to just slowly walk through these soils briefly. Okay, so look at these soils. So if you have your Bible open, I'm just going to go to the front. We're going to talk about soil 1, 2, 3, and 4. So soil 1. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. So soil number 1. It's a hard path. It's trampled on. Now go to verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. What happens with soil 1? With soil 1, there is a way in which your heart and my heart can become hard. Like hard. You drop a seed, and it's completely hard. Now, if your heart is hard, then what happens? Then the seed just kind of sits on top of the hardened place, and people could walk by and smash it, right? Destroy it. And if our heart is hard, the enemy, the devil, Satan, the accuser, like some bird, flies down and takes it away. So, for some of the crowds that were coming to hear Jesus and the message of the kingdom, he's saying the message of the kingdom will just like, if their hearts are not ready to receive, there are people that will smash it and birds that will eat it up. Soil number 2. Verse 6. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. All right, so picture this seed. It's rocky ground. Maybe not a lot of opportunity for deep soil there. And so the plants are withering because there's no moisture. So imagine a very dry looking soil, right? Very dry. Now go down to verse 13. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but at a time of testing, they fall away. So put this together. So there's heat in a time of testing. How many of us have experienced this? There's heat in a time of testing. We initially receive the message of the kingdom of God. We're like, Jesus, yes, we love this. I love the message of the kingdom. For you to be king of my life, yes, bring it. And then a time of testing comes and the heat gets cranked up in our life and we don't have enough roots because we've got all these rocks in the way, right? And this just lack of moisture. What about soil 3? Look at soil 3. Verse 7, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. So there's thorns, and they're choking the plant. Verse 14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear. But as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. So what's going on here? Well, there are these two plants that are growing. One is the God life, the kingdom of God, the message of the kingdom is growing in our heart. But there are these other plants that are growing, and they're starting to literally like choke out this one. They're choking it. So here's what they're doing. They're actually like stealing nutrients and energy and light away from the other one. And what does Jesus describe them being? These are worries, riches, pleasures. We're consumed by worries and riches and pleasures, and so we're not maturing. And so there's a problem, right? There's a problem. These things, the worries of life, and now I just, as you're listening to this, imagine yourself, you're hearing Jesus speak about the kingdom. You would come and you go, well, what are my worries? Well, what are the riches that are pulling me away? You know, what are the pleasures that are pulling me away? What are those things that are just like literally sucking all the nutrients out and away from the message of the kingdom? All right, but there's good news. There's a fourth soil. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. 100 times more than was sown. By the way, if you're worried, you're like, he doesn't seem like a good farmer. He's just kind of like throwing seed everywhere, right? The teacher seems, well, what does the teacher know? The teacher knows that there's lots of seeds coming, right? There's an abundant crop coming from soil four. And so we listen to what is this actually when Jesus explains it? He says, verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. Here it is, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Look at that, verse 15. The seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Hear those key words. Hear it, retain it. You say, hear and hold on to it, and persevere in it. Ask yourself the question. Have you heard it? Have you heard the message of the kingdom? Are you holding on to it? And are you persevering in it? That's good soil. To really hear it is to come hungry and open and seeking, to lean in. To really hear it is to be vulnerable enough to hear that we might be wrong. We might be living our life the wrong way. To hear it, to hold it, to persevere in it is to continue on in obedience. To hear Jesus say something like, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And you go, oh, okay. I'll hear it. I'll hold on to it. And I'll persevere in it. Absolutely, Jesus. You told me that this is the message. This is one element of the message of the kingdom of God. I'll take it. I'll take it. I want to ask you, Northangley, are you hungry for the message of Jesus, the message of the kingdom of God to come into the soil of your heart, and that this year coming up, 2022, would be a year in which you are just going, yes, more of Jesus. I don't want to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I want to eat from the tree of life. I want God to be king. And I want to experience what it's like for that, for the teaching, for the seed to fall into my life. And for me to have an openness, a vulnerability, a willingness to listen, like, please do what you need to do. Take away the rocks, like, what's that called? What's the weed killer called? Like, I heard a few mumbling things, but whatever it is. Roundup. Yes, that's it. Roundup me. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, kill the thing. You know, pull the weeds. Get rid of it. Like, I want a heart that is absolutely open to you. Would that be your prayer in 2022? You know, there's a friend of mine. I'm going to embarrass him. I didn't ask permission to share this, but anyway. When I look at many of you, so many, I just love our church because so many are open and they want to receive the message of the kingdom. So I'm just going to pick one friend of mine. His name's Travis. Travis is constantly asking, thinking, processing, pondering the meaning of Jesus' teachings. I got to know Travis a few years ago. He was an atheist, and he, through a series of events, an invitation to church, started coming. And for the last 3 years, this guy, I wish you could all meet him, he eats up the teachings of Jesus, eats it up. He's been in business, and he's always trying to figure out how his business and how his parenting and how his relationships can be modeled after Jesus. Like, he is sharp on it. He's like, Matthew, so what does this mean? What does this mean? He is, like, hungry to know Jesus. He's like, the Jesus way is the way. It's the way. And I'm like, totally it is. I mean, it's so great for me to be friends with a Travis because I've grown up in this. But when I see Travis engaging it, I'm like, yeah, you're right. It is awesome. This is awesome. This is like life-changing stuff. He's like, it's totally life-changing stuff. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just so great to hear it again. He's excited about the teachings of Jesus. And I want to make mention of something. So far, if you're reading the book of Luke, a very diverse crew of people are receiving the message of the kingdom of God. They're really good soil, but they're not the people you would expect. So you have your Bible, right? Like, flip back, if you will, to chapter 5. Look at chapter 5. I'm just going to fly through this really quick. So who is starting to follow Jesus? Well, Jesus announces his mission in chapter 4, chapter 5. Who does he call? Well, he's a man with leprosy. You see that? And then there's a man who's paralyzed. And then there's a tax collector, Levi. Okay? And then flip over, chapter 6. Who does he call? These 12 apostles. Look at that. Who are these people? Fishermen, tax collectors, a zealot who's violent, a teenager. It's a motley crew. Flip over, chapter 7. Now who's following him? A Roman centurion. What? Because if you're a Jew during this day, that would be like a what? What is he doing? Who's following? The enemy? What? The oppressor? The occupier? Okay. And then, who else is following him? Verse 36, a sinful woman. Verse 37, a woman in that town who lived a sinful life. She comes and she pours perfume on his feet. And so if you're following Jesus, you're trying to put this together and you're like, okay, so someone with leprosy, paralyzed person, a tax collector, these 12 guys that should not be friends, they're following him. And then there's a Roman centurion, and then there's a woman who's lived a sinful life, and she's like pouring oil, or, you know, perfume all over Jesus' feet. What is going on? I mean, religious people are losing their brains at this point, right? They're like, what? Who is following Jesus? What is going on here? And notice, look at chapter 8 then. If you're tracking, look at chapter 8. Jesus traveled from one village to another, and who's with him? So the 12, look at at the end of verse 1. The 12 were with him. That ragtag bunch. And verse 2, this is crazy. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Jesus had women who were his disciples, right? Why 12 men? Well, could it be that Jesus is restoring the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons who would become 12 tribes, right? He's starting it over again. It's a reboot, right? But he called women to be disciples, women to come, and he apparently healed a few of them, Mary, Joanna, and Susanna. Do you see them there? Now look at their stories. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. So who's following Jesus? Oh, that lady in the village. Like, yeah, we heard about her. She had 7 demons. She's following Jesus? Okay, who else? Joanna. Wait, isn't Joanna married to Chuza? Chuza, who runs Herod, King Herod, the tyrant's household. Wait, so she's part of the Herodian dynasty? She's part of that family? She's part of that elite family that's oppressing the people of Israel? She's following? And she, who would have been the aristocracy at the time, is hanging out with Mary Magdalene? Who has 7 demons cast out of her? Yeah, apparently in the kingdom of God, Joanna and Mary Magdalene can be friends. Joanna, who would be wealthy beyond imagination, and Mary Magdalene, the marginalized, they're friends. They're following Jesus together. And they're paying the bills. Notice? Who's helping pay the bills? the women. They're able to contribute as Jesus does his ministry. And so if you're adding all of this up, we're thinking, where are the religious people? North Langley, show me in the first 7 chapters the religious people that are following Jesus. Notice that they're not there. Now, there may have been, but Luke is pointing something out here. He's like, you want to know the diverse people that are good soil and their hearts are open and they're like, there are no rocks in there. They have prepared their hearts. They're ready to receive the message of the kingdom. Yeah, let me tell you about them. Demonic possessions, zealots, centurions, like tax collectors, these are the people. Soil number four, right? And what's the point? I think Jesus shares this parable because he knows that those who follow him are radically diverse. They're not the kind of people you would have assumed. They're sinners, they're outcasts, they work for Rome. But Jesus' point is this: they are listening. They're listening. Their hearts are good soil. Are you listening? Because some will hear my words and they'll never listen, and their hearts will grow hard. But will you listen? North Langley, in 2022, will you listen? Will you listen? Are we hungry and humble? Are we hungry for Jesus? Are we humble enough to receive the message? Do we pray, Holy Spirit, come till the soil of my heart? I love this Dallas Willard quote. I've shared it before. He says this: the greatest issue facing the world today, with all its heartbreaking needs, is whether those who are identified as Christians will become disciples, students, apprentices, practitioners of Jesus Christ. Here it is: steadily learning from him how to live the life of the kingdom of the heavens into every corner of human existence. Will you and I move from being just Christians as a title to actual disciples? Are we willing to make that move? Are we willing to say, with the kingdom of God, which the kingdom of heaven is in the book of Matthew, kingdom of God, book of Luke. So same thing. Is it, would the kingdom of God move into every corner of my human existence? Every corner. Well, guess what? I want to share some good news with you. You and I really don't have a lot of power to do this on our own, right? We don't have a lot of power to create this soil in our heart, but God is delighted to do it in us. And you need to know the kind of God you serve. And I borrow this insight from Pastor Tim Keller from New York. Remember that at the cross, Jesus is the seed who would go into the soil and die so that you would live. And remember this: Jesus is the one who wore a crown of thorns. He wore the thorns so that you could be healed of the thorns, right? And know this: there's an empty tomb, and God is in the business of rolling stones away, and he has power to remove stones in your life. He has all power to roll them away, right? And he's got authority to be able to move into your life. And when we say, we want more of you, right? It's more of you. Holy Spirit, come. We want more of you. Would you bring the message of the kingdom of God? What does it look like for you to be king in my life? And he goes, I'll roll the stones away. Don't worry. I'll get rid of the crowns. I wore a crown of thorns on your behalf. I'll get rid of the thorns. And I'm the seed that fell into the soil and died so that you might live. I'll do this. Just give your life over. Hand it over. Are you humble? Are you hungry? I can transform you. So, North Langley, would you just take a minute and close your eyes? Just spend a moment. We're going to have a moment of prayer here. And I'm just going to ask you some simple questions. This is a very basic one. If you could identify right now your heart as a particular soil, which one would it be? Do you feel a hardness of heart? then your prayer is, oh God, soften my heart. Heal me, soften my heart. Some of you might feel like very early on you received the message of Jesus with joy, but you're soil number two and hard times have come. There's a lot of heat. The heat got turned up. And you may have realized that the roots of your faith weren't that deep. And maybe your prayer is, God, let it rain. Would you just let it rain on my heart? Bring the moisture again, bring the life again. And would you grow deep roots in my life? Just be vulnerable, come to him, ask him for it. Soil number three, for those of you who feel like you're in this group, you just feel the worries choking. The message of the kingdom, you feel like pleasure, it's so tempting. Riches, you're worried about wealth, you're worried about what you have and don't have. And if you're honest, you're like, it's been a long time since I've really cared about the message of the kingdom. Your prayer would be, Holy Spirit, come and do some weeding. Would you pull the weeds out? Would you bring nutrients again to the seed of your teaching in my life? And those of you who might feel like you're in a good place, you're good soil, just say more. Jesus, more. Jesus, I've been enjoying getting to know you, and I've been enjoying seeing your message come into my life. Would you give me more, more of you? This is so fun. I'm having fun with you, Jesus. I can't wait to see what next year will be like. Lead me to deeper obedience and deeper love for you. Can we stand together, Northingly? Let's stand together. As 2021 winds down and 2022 begins, how's your heart? Holy Spirit, till the soil of our hearts. Right now, if any of you would like to go to the prayer room, our prayer team is ready to pray for anyone who would like to pray. And we're just being a little bit more cautious with the state of where the pandemic is at, so we don't have prayer up front, but they can do a good distancing in the prayer room and to hear your prayer requests. So would you, if you feel led, they would love to pray for you. But let's actually pray here as we end. Holy Spirit, come. Plow up the hard ground, Holy Spirit. Remove the stones that have sunk deep into our hearts. Pull out the weeds that so easily choke us and give us more of you. Holy Spirit, our prayer is more of you. We want your living presence in our life. We know you are the great gift of God becoming king. That you, God, the very presence of God, move into our lives and you reign, and we want more of you. So come fall upon us. We trust you and we give our lives to you.